Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
During the Brezhnev era, at the height of the Cold War, Billy Graham visited Russia and met with government and church leaders. Conservatives in the West harshly criticized him for treating the Russians with such courtesy and respect. He should have taken on a more prophetic role, they said, by speaking out against the abuses of human rights and religious liberty. One of his critics said, "Dr. Graham, you have set the church back 50 years. Graham lowered his head and replied, "I am deeply ashamed. I have been trying very hard to set the church back 2,000 years.
So we are in a sermon series called The Early Church. And this series is to bring us back to the early church and revisit the core values that God introduced back some 2,000 years ago and find out how they apply to us today. And so we're revisiting the core values, and today we are going to take a look at another core value. And the main point of this sermon will be faith. We're going to be talking today about faith, and we're going to discover that when the early church gathered together and when they talked about their faith, they interacted with their faith, they believed that faith was an action verb. They believed that faith was something that you put into practice. It wasn't something that you just held on to. It wasn't just a belief. It wasn't a dogma. It was something that had feet, it had hands, and it was something that was very tangible. So we're going to be looking at today faith. But before we do that, I think Pastor Sandy deserves a round of applause for that incredible video. I'm telling you, those guys, the two of them, the one of them, really knocked the ball out of the park. I was in the wings when they were making that video, and I'm telling you, it is just absolutely incredible what the talent we have here between people, our pastoral staff, and the techs. So we appreciate everyone's involvement. So to set the setting for this message, I want to go back and remind us of what was happening in the early church. Remember, this is 50 days after Jesus Christ had, or after his crucifixion. 50 days later, he ascends into heaven, and we have Pentecost, and the church is birthed. And so when the church is birthed, all kinds of incredible things start to happen. So I'm going to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 43 through 44, and it says this: "Everyone was filled with awe." Now watch the faith in action. "Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common." Acts chapter 4, verse 32, a couple chapters over, once again gives you a snapshot of what was happening as faith was in action. "All the believers were one in heart and mind." Once again, you hear that common theme. "No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had." Just another passage of scripture that comes from the book of Acts. And you remember, we're encouraging you to read through the book of Acts as a chapter a day, just to keep in sync with this sermon series called the Early Church. And this passage of scripture is found over in Acts chapter 6 and a couple of verses there. And it talks about a conflict that they were having. And it was over making sure that everyone was being cared for. In particular, there were some widows in their midst. And there were Hebraic widows, and there were Grecian widows, but they were all common in the faith. And some were being neglected. And so this is what we read on the beginning of chapter 6. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews. You see the two different groups. Because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. It was a very practical matter, but it was also a matter of great concern. And so here was the response. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. And so they pray and they solve it. But once again, it was one of those things that it was, oh, that's too bad. You know, you're having that problem straightened out among yourself. No, it was reflection of faith in action and the consultation of the Holy Spirit and prayer. So we want to kind of dive in a little bit more. The New Testament is a reflection of the early church. And so although we've been focusing on the book of Acts, there are other, certainly any part of the New Testament is a base for us to consider what was happening in the New Church, the New Testament church, and the core values that were found. So James, one of the leaders in the early church, had a lot to say about faith, and in particular, faith without works. Should be familiar with that passage. Here we go. James chapter 2. And picking up on verse 14, I'm going to read this passage of scripture so that'll just help us once again understand the connection between faith and works, but most importantly, that the early church saw faith as an action verb. So, what good is it, James says, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, You have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. So James really gets a sucker punch here and reminds, hey, it's got to be more than belief. It's got to be your faith and action. So point number one. Now, you got to follow this. I got a little trick I'm playing on you a little bit this morning. And it's to keep you engaged with this message. And so I want you to pick up on it. And I'm going to need to count on the each sections here to remember a key word. And so I'm going to start over here to my left. And so I'll call on you. And you need, if you don't pass the test, you'll have to stay here all day. All right. So you want to pay attention. All right. Okay. All right. So the first word that I want you to remember is the word action. And so when I point to you, you'll let me know the word is action. So my first point this morning is this. The early church valued and understood faith as an action verb. So point number one, the word was? That was a little bit on the weak side. Okay, we'll try that again. So you're going to be the example for the rest of the congregation, all right? So you're going to show them how they do. So the first point and then word was? There you go. Okay, all right. All right, now, as I explained to you last week, that this series came about because of the vision of Pastor Chad, our lead pastor, and feeling that this is where we needed to go as a church, and we needed to talk about the core values in the early church. And during the process, we gathered around a table in his office, and we brainstormed, and we considered what is it the Holy Spirit wants to say to us, what are the verses, illustrations, and all those kind of things. So here was a point that came out in our deliberations. So in preparation for message number 3, the one that we're into today, the early church series, the pastoral staff that felt that it was important to emphasize the relationship of faith to works. I'm going to play a little bit on the words, the wording here, but listen to it, okay? And so the pastors also felt it needed to be emphasized that we are not saved by works, but saved for works. Do you follow that? Okay, you follow that? That's good. Now listen to it. Okay, you won't held accountable for that phrase, but it should stick. The pastors also felt it needed to be emphasized that we are not saved by works, but saved for works. We are saved by faith. And we sang about that earlier today. We're saved because we put our trust in our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. The passage of Scripture I really want to camp on this morning for the remaining portion of this passage is found over in Titus chapter 2. It's a small little book. It's a small little letter that Paul is responsible for writing. So if you have your Bibles or devices, whatever you have, turn to Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Now, usually when I'm referencing scriptures, I'm in the NIV or the NLT, the New International Version or the New Living Translation. But today, I wanted to really zero in on the King James Version. And you'll see just some wording that I really want to bring out in that translation. So Titus 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem for us all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. So that probably was the phrase that I really wanted to magnify for this point, is that we are to be a people that are purified unto him, and we are a peculiar people, or a special people, and the word zealous. I like the word zealous of good works. So point number one, the early church, and the key word for point number one was? Thank you. Okay, all right. All right, now point number two, the early church understood that faith births conviction. Your word is conviction. Okay, I'm going to say it again. The early church understood that faith births conviction. So the word for point number two is?
Conviction.
Point number one? Don't fall asleep. Please make sure nobody falls asleep on me, okay? I wouldn't want the wrong word coming out when we're all together, all right? Thank you. Okay, so we got action, and we have conviction. So I want to go back to the verse that says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, okay, and once again, the phrase teaching us that. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we give our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes into our life and begins to teach, begins to help us to evaluate, and starts to establish the values of heaven in our life. So the early church understood the gospel message, number one, was for all mankind. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, women, boys, and girls. So this was the core value and basis for the first sermon that Pastor Sandy spoke on about the good news and the gospel. Now, the early church clearly understood that once a person, this is huge, that once a person comes to Christ by faith and surrenders their will to him, things start to change internally. Things start to happen inside. We call that conviction. We call that revelation. We call that the work of the Holy Spirit. The change or transition is marked by who is in charge of one's life. So once a person comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, things begin To change. And that becomes, that the change is initiated because of the one who is in charge of our life, Jesus Christ. Conviction then, which is the role of the Holy Spirit, brings lifestyle change. Faith, action word. Faith brings conviction. It brings lifestyle change. It was a core value. They understood very clearly that when people came to Jesus and they discovered something took place, there was a change in their attitudes. There was a change in their lifestyle. Let me just point out, and this is huge. And over the years and over the centuries, this has kind of gotten fuzzy wuzzy and gotten blurry and then it was like, man, it's hard to tell. Is there a difference between the lifestyle of the church and the lifestyle of the word? I mean, of the world. Is there anything different? Does Jesus really make a difference? And so conviction in the early church was riveting. In the early church, the Holy Spirit really started working on the lifestyle of the individual. So Titus describes, here's, if you want a clearer understanding of what the lifestyle was based on or what it kind of looked like, here's what Titus has to say. It says, Titus describes the lifestyle change brought about by our faith walk with words like these. So, oh, that's very good. Hey, this is good. Thank you. You're helping me out. I don't have to say anything. Okay. I'll save you just a moment. Okay. But please be on your toes. Okay. So Titus says this about conviction or the work of the Holy Spirit. This grace teaches us to say, are you ready? Here it is. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. So when things of the world started to come in and started being conflict, the Holy Spirit would say, no, that is no longer your lifestyle. That's not the pursuit of your life anymore. Your pursuit is God. And the things and the pursuits of the things of the world, they are counterproductive. And then number two, Titus goes on and says, this grace, or once again, is the work of the Holy Spirit conviction. This grace teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Let me say it again. This grace or this conviction teaches us to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And so, I mean, as faith core value, I mean, it was productive and it was doing things in their lives. And here's the thing. With conviction. If you don't have conviction, conviction was what some of the early preachers used to say. If you don't have conviction, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. And that was an old preacher's motto and sermon. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. Well, what they were talking about is they're talking about conviction. They're talking about that thing that you discover on your own. It's that thing that you discover in the workplace and at school, and it's not just something you hear in a sermon. Because, I mean, we can preach at it all we want, but really, where conviction really hits the mark, or where the rubber hits the road, is when the Holy Spirit is talking about you in your own private time. It's when we try to get away with something and say, no, I can't do that. I've got convictions. I've got convictions and I won't share with you. And I have convictions that the Holy Spirit has really dealt with me on. And I'm not saying that they should be your convictions, but there's certain things that I know the Holy Spirit has said, no, I don't want you to do that. And I'm not going to do that because I believe that. And you need to have that same experience with the Holy Spirit, because faith produces all right, try that again. Pay attention, okay? I'll do that again. Okay, all right. All right, okay, so, all right, okay, over here.
Conviction.
Good, 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 good. You're almost saying that like you do have conviction, okay? Okay. All right, I know what it is. You just don't want to be here all afternoon. That's what it is. Okay. So point number three. So point, I'm coming over here. So, point number three is this. The early church understood that transformation into the likeness of Christ was the goal. The early church understood transformation into the likeness of Christ was the goal. This is why Paul would teach, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Oh, okay, all right. Point number three over here, your word is transformation, okay? All right, okay, ready? So let's try it. Okay, so point number three, your word is?
Transformation.
Beautiful. Your word is?
Conviction.
And your word is?
Action.
Okay, and we're coming. But your word is a big word. You're going to have to really pay attention. They only have a few syllables. You have several syllables on your word, okay? All right. Okay. All right. So, and this is why Peter would also teach about transformation. Doesn't use that word in this passage, but it means the same. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And here's what I really wanted to have highlighted is once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but transformation has taken place, and now you have received mercy. Transformation. Bethel's landscape in this month in particular has changed. We now have officially a Bethel Stratford campus, as you're part of this morning, and we also have Bethel St. Mary's. That's significant, and it has not been entered into too lightly by any means. Our pastors, our board of directors, they have been very, very diligent, along with Pastor Carlo, making sure that what has happened on September 10th this month was certainly with the mind of God, had his approval, and we are already seeing the fruit of that. So the landscape has changed. There has been, actually, we've experienced a transformation. The early church was transformed into a mega church overnight. 5,000 men getting saved, plus women and children. I mean, conceivably, there were 10,000 people, maybe even 15,000 people that were coming to the Lord just overnight. So the early church went from local to a regional model. There, you remember, as we said last week, that there were a number of people that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate Passover and Pentecost. So there was quite an international crowd. So the work of the Holy Spirit, the transformation was going on. The church went from local to global. The early church started in Jerusalem. And here's the thing. The early church has now shown up in Stratford. And I believe that's pertinent to us here, but I also believe that's pertinent to other congregations that are meeting this morning where their gospel is being preached, where people fear God, where people love Jesus Christ as much as you and I do. And we have now been witness, we have experienced that the early church that started in Jerusalem and has now shown up in Stratford. The core value, and this is a core value reminder from last week's sermon. And I said last week, here's the thing. When core values or a core value is neglected, the organization loses focus and begins to flounder, and they question why they exist. And we talked on that a little bit, but it's so true that whenever an organization, and we're talking about the church today, but anytime an organization loses sight of the core values, then they begin to flounder. They go all over the map. And then they begin to ask the question, why do we exist? So Bethel, the need in our world is great. And the hope of glory, the hope of eternal life living inside of us is the answer for our world today. There's just absolutely no doubt about it. What our world is needing is an encounter with the resurrected Christ we know. And that encounter with the resurrected Christ is directly related to you. Because you have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you're a congregation that understand that faith is a... Okay, and faith produces what?
Faith.
All right, and over here. And also, faith brings about what?
Transformation.
Okay, very, very, very good. These are the things. And so that was the pulse. That was the pulse of the early church. So the early church understood faith is an action verb. The early church understood that faith bears conviction. The early church understood that transformation by faith into the likeness of Christ was the goal. And finally, over here. And finally, the early church understood, are you ready? Sustainability. Oh, that's going to be tough, right? Okay, you better be awake on that one, okay? So say it together. The early church understood. Yeah, come on. I need a choir director for this one. Are you ready? Okay, the early church understood. All right, we're going to get that one right. That's right. But don't lose that. We need you more than anything else. We got to make sure, okay? Sustainability is so key to what happens in the Church of Jesus Christ. So the early church understood sustainability was dependent on faith and good works, but there was something else that really helped the sustaining, that helped the sustainability of the church. And it's articulated in verses 13 and 14, and I want to read them again, of Titus chapter 2. So once again, making that reference back to Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, and I'm referencing the King James Version for this translation. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In the NIV, it puts it this way: while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his own, eager to do what is good. What really fueled the church's sustainability, and certainly the action, certainly conviction, and certainly transformation, they were all part of. But what really fueled the sustainability dimension of the early church was their belief that Jesus Christ was coming back any day. They had this understanding, and their thought was, Jesus said, when he said, I'm going to come back, they thought in their lifetime he was going to come back. And that's why Titus said, we're looking for the blessed hope. In Bible college, they taught us that one. That phrase in particular was a direct reference to what the church, the evangelical churches, have called the rapture, or that unannounced return, that sudden moment that Jesus comes back and Gabriel blows his trumpet and takes the church with him. So it was a moment. It introduced a tension that Jesus Christ could come back anytime. That Gabriel is about ready. He's wetting his lips right now and getting ready to blow the trumpet, and he's going to sound the trumpet, and Jesus is going to come. It was a tension. Do you believe that Jesus Christ could come back at any time? Do you believe that there's signs of the time all around that suggest that? Yeah. Do you believe that we have a world that is desperately looking? They're searching. They're looking for hope. They're concerned. They're confused about what's going on, and say, what on earth is going on? So what fueled the early churches in point number 4 is? Okay, I'll bring a downbeat on this one. Okay, ready? So the fourth point is? Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope over there, okay? Got you going. Okay, so the church, the early church, its sustainability was their anticipation and intention of the Lord's return. And as I said, scholars have often used these verses to support the teaching of the rapture or the sudden return of Christ. The early church lived with the conviction that Christ would return any day. The early church believed in the ongoing work of Christ in their life. The early church knew their faith would get them to heaven. Don't lose sight of that, okay? But here's the other side of it. The early church knew that their faith would get them to heaven, but they also believed that their faith would bring heaven down to earth. There's a big difference, okay? They understood, yeah, we're going to get to heaven because of Jesus, but they also believed that while they were waiting for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that their faith could bring heaven down to earth. And that was what fueled the church, and that was what fueled their action, and that's what fueled the supported their conviction, and it helped them with the transformation process so that they would experience sustainability throughout just not only the first century, but in the centuries to come. So today we have looked at the faith core values of the early church and how it applies today. We as pastors have been encouraging you to read through the book of Acts, which articulates the core values of the early church. And I have purposely arranged my points today to emphasize the early church's example found in the book of Acts by pointing out that your word is, and your word is, and your word is, and your word is, and you take the first letter of each of those words, and what does it spell? Oh, man, my teaching skills got to work up. Okay, we got to work on this again, all right? Okay, yeah, that was right. I've done on purpose. Today, I pointed out to you in these points that faith, it produced, and it was all reflective of what was going on in the book of Acts. And some have said that, you know, the book of Acts really never concluded, and that really the authors of the book of Acts, it was their full intention that chapters would be continued to be added throughout the centuries, and that continuing reflecting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, reflecting that faith was, and faith was, yes, and it brought about what? And for sure it helped to encourage. All right, and all together, it spells the word
Acts.
Oh, that was beautiful. I hope Pastor Chad watches this online. I hope so, man. It might help me in the days to come as he reviews what we did while he was gone. I think he's okay with that. So faith is an action verb. Faith produces conviction. Faith brings about transformation. Faith brings sustainability to Christ's church. So the question begs asking, here's the question that begs asking, what does your faith look like? What does our faith look like? So here's the thing. Core values are confrontational, whether first century church or 21st century. If they are not happening in our day, we must answer the question, why not? Why are they not? So today, at the end of the service, if you're saying, man, I feel it, Pastor, man, I feel like my faith is really, you got me going today. I want to do something. So at the end of our service, there are going to be some people out in the foyer. And if you want to find out more about, we have community meals, and Colette, she'll be out there and she'll be waving if you want to know anything about a community meal that we do. My wife, Gracie, she's in part of a breakfast club, and there are breakfast clubs, and you want to put your faith in action, there's another opportunity. The month, we said last week that October is Giftober, and man, things are happening. The Kniders reminded me of the turkey giveaway that they're involved in, and God has provided so wonderfully. They don't need money, but they do need people who they can drop, have the turkey delivered to. So if you know someone that they can have one of those meals prepared, a turkey and potatoes and the trims and everything, you know someone that could use that, and you could put your faith into, okay, right, as you put your faith into action, that would be so appreciated. So there are a number of things that this church has been involved in. It shows you that our faith is in action, so you have opportunity today. But this morning, of course, what our major concern is for you today and where your faith level is. And I get it. There are things that happen in our life that really drain our faith. There are things that attack our faith, and it happens and so forth. But I still believe in the one who is faithful. Amen. I just believe in the one that's been here today. And so today, I really want to ask the prayer team to come. They're going to come, and I'm going to invite them to come. And as they come this morning, they're going to take their place. And they're here to pray for if you have a need, sick or whatever. But also, I really want to encourage the prayer team today just to be partner with you where you're at in your faith journey. And you may say, I've been really struggling. There's some things going on, and I just need some encouragement today. I just need some encouragement in my faith because that's you've heard the word today. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's so important. And this morning, we need to be that church today. We need to be that church that understands that faith is an action. It is an action verb, and that it is our faith. It is our faith that motivates us. And my prayer has been is that supernatural faith will have been released in our hearts today. But what my prayer has really been today, people, is that as you listen to the sermon on faith, this core value, that something inside of you has been percolating, and something said, man, yeah, God's asking me to do something. God's asking me to step out. And if you've been sensing that, then you need to come up and have somebody pray with you today and just really pray that in the Spirit. And also, today my prayer has been that you today, you just sense, boy, I just need, I need my faith to be active, and so the transformation is taking place. And yeah, maybe there's some convictions, maybe there's some things that God has been saying. You know what? You've gotten a little fuzzy wuzzy, and you need to say, I want my convictions to be strong, because as the old preacher said, you don't stand for something, you fall for everything. And the old preacher, he was right. So today we want you to be strong in conviction. We want you to be strong in your faith. And so today I just going to close in prayer in just a moment, open up the altars like that. But I do want to remind you today, and I'm watching my time, it's 11:24. I'm going to let you out at 11:30 for those that have to go. But we want you to, there's a prayer summit tonight. And if there's ever a time that we need to gather together to pray and intercede, it's now. So I'm going to give you lots of time so that you can go home, have your nice meals, and get your Pentecostal snooze or whatever you need, and then you can come back, all right? Okay, so this morning, all right, one more time, just by way of review. So faith produces what?
Action.
Okay, and it brings about what?
Conviction.
Yeah, and it also leads us to what? And what does it contribute overall to the church? And what does the word spell all together? 1, 2, 3.
Acts.
1, 2, 3.
Acts.
Lord Jesus, may we be exactly what we've heard about today. May we be a church that understands the core value of faith as an action word, as an action verb. And so, Lord, today I pray your special blessing upon each one. And I pray, Father, that as people respond to the altar call around the front, that you will just meet us where we are. And may your faith, your supernatural faith, the faith that moves mountains, the faith that produces action and conviction and transformation and sustainability, that certainly helps us, that as we live this day with the expectation that you could come back at any time. So, Lord, thank you today for your work. And we give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.